Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245CT Hayward.
Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 5 o'clock. Good afternoon. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. State lawmakers are set to vote next week on whether to fire Wisconsin's top elections official. As Nate Wegehalp reports, it may not make a difference whether she gets to keep her job.
The Senate Committee Overseeing Elections is set to vote Monday whether or not Megan Wolf should stay as elections administrator. That's despite legal opinions from both the state attorney general and the legislature's attorneys that say that they cannot legally rule either way. Republicans have been critical of Wolf for her handling of the 2020 presidential election. The committee will vote by paper ballot whether or not to fire Wolf, meaning that there will be no debate before the vote. However they vote, the full Senate will still need to take up the confirmation. Nate Wegehalp, Civic Media News.
A group of U.S. House Republicans wants $4 billion in cuts to the Environmental Protection Agency in exchange for their votes against a government shutdown later this month. Environmentalists say that would jeopardize efforts to eliminate PFAS pollution. Betsy Sutherland is a former EPA official who worked on water safety.
The cuts are incredibly short-sighted. 2 weeks ago, EPA released PFAS monitoring data for 2,000 drinking water systems that show multiple PFAS chemicals are in the drinking water of over 26 million people.
PFAS are among the most stubborn toxic compounds to get rid of. That's why they're called forever chemicals. They're linked to cancer, birth defects, and a host of other health problems. The pandemic pause on student loan payments will soon be over. More than 70,000 people in Wisconsin are enrolled in a new federal program. As Mike Moan reports, it sets monthly bills based on discretionary income.
More than 4 million Americans have already signed up for the program known as SAVE. The Biden administration says it'll eliminate some debt completely, and others could save as much as 40% a month. Robert Farrington of the College Investor website says it's aggressive in helping those overwhelmed with debt.
There have been income-driven repayment plans for the last 15 to 20 years. However, none of them have offered payments this low at 5% of your discretionary income.
The Biden program was recently announced after a separate student loan forgiveness plan was struck down by the U.S. Supreme Court. Opponents of the initiative have said it will burden taxpayers. I'm Mike Moen.
State government workers are still waiting for their pay raises. Even though Governor Evers signed the state budget into law in July, the pay raises within still have to be approved by the Joint Committee on Employee Relations. The State Journal reports the committee is waiting for the nonpartisan Legislative Fiscal Bureau to finish reviewing the plan. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Elections Commission has approved a new emergency rule to create a formal policy for ballot challenges for candidates. Republican Commissioner Bob Spindle urged the commission to kill the plan, stating the rule opens the door to use the 14th Amendment to keep former President Donald Trump off the ballot and predicts a flood of lawsuits over the rule change. The rule change was approved by a 5-1 vote, with Spindle as the only outlier. Wisconsin Democratic lawmakers are pushing a 10-bill package to make it easier for Wisconsin workers to form a union. The 10-bill package would ease requirements to qualify for union ratification and would require companies to recognize unions. It is not expected that the bills will advance to Governor Tony Evers' desk, however, as the legislature is controlled by a near-Republican supermajority. Democratic Representative Katrina Shanklin says union action has led to major wins for workers in Wisconsin. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers are in the Bronx. Good afternoon, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers open a 3-game series tonight against the Yankees in New York. Catcher William Contreras says he'd like to stay with the team, but so far has not been offered an extension. Craig Counsell says that Contreras has become one of the team's most consistent hitters.
He's in a good streak right now for sure, and feeling good. Feels like a chance for damage every time he's up, and having really good at-bats.
Milwaukee now with just a 2-game lead ahead of the Cubs in the NL Central Division after losing their last series in Pittsburgh. The crew will send Colin Ray to the mound against the Yankees' Luis Severino. First pitch at 6:05. College football, the Badgers head west to play Washington State. The Cougars won their opener 50-24 over Colorado State, showing a lot of speed on offense. Wisconsin head coach Luke Fickell.
Yeah, I think this is going to be faster than what we've you know, been probably experiencing for the most part through spring and through fall. So the good news is we've gotten some work at it, but it's always different when all of a sudden you get, especially you go on the road, you get in a new environment, you get the anxiety of an actual game. So those kinds of things are really critical.
Kickoff tomorrow night at 6:30. NFL, the Lions upset the Chiefs 21-20 last night. Lions head coach Dan Campbell on getting the win at Arrowhead.
This was a tough environment to come play in. And to that's why I'm excited, because I can't wait to get back to Ford Field. Because you know how loud that is. I know our place is going to be louder than this.
In Green Bay, the Packers' Romeo Doubs was back on the practice field for the first time after dealing with a hamstring injury. But Christian Watson was still out. The Packers faced the Bears at Soldier Field in Chicago on Sunday. Game time 3:25. I asked Packers head coach Matt LaFleur, with Watson out, how much time did they have to change their game plan?
Well, we still had a whole week to kind of prepare for this. So I think anytime, you know, you're missing one of your better players, I mean, that certainly throws a little curveball to it. But, I mean, that happens all the time. Shoot, the Chiefs had to deal with that, you know, last night.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Working for the weekend. It's almost here, fellas. 5 o'clock on a Friday, the happy hour. We got a big UW kickoff tomorrow night, playing against Washington State University. You can hear it right here on the Civic Media. You can stream that game, or you can listen to it live. WRJN, our sports flagship in the Milwaukee Metro, 1400 AM. And then the Packers kicking off. Game of the week, Fox Sunday afternoon, 3:25 Central Time kickoff. Did we mention the Bears still suck?
I think you did once or twice.
They do. They do. In my humble opinion, they do. And we have superior starting quarterback. I'm trash talking already.
Yeah, I know. Have you seen a line yet, though, Kurt? That's what I want to know.
I look up the line. Jared Goff had a good game last night.
Yeah, man.
Your boy, goodish game.
Come on. That was a stellar game. It was a hard-fought game. Now, here's what you got to know about my Lions, man. You know, they usually lose
meow.
Games. They get close, and they can't close it out. Or, you know, something happens, or the refs are against them. You know, it's just
a story of my life. Can't close the deal.
But, yesterday, last night, they closed the deal. And you can hear the roar in Wisconsin from Michigan. Tomorrow, Crudy, the Green Bay Packers. I'm sorry, Sunday.
3:25.
Favored 1.5. One and a half points.
Well, you got to have at least 1 point more to win. Not going to end on a tie.
Well, that's, yeah.
So improbability.
It's a Chicago giving up a point and a half. So Packers are getting points.
Underdogs.
Yes.
Generally, home field gives you about three.
Three, right.
So we'll have to reciprocate that earlier conversation.
Yeah.
You know, if you're taking the Lions, I'm taking the Packers.
All right.
Let's just say that. I'll take my chances as well. I will take our chances on Civic Media Sports Director Mike Clemens joining us 5:30 today. He'll be in Chi-Town covering the game on Sunday, and we'll be kicking it off on WRJN, that's 1400 AM Milwaukee. Listen to ours, our Packers, our Badgers, please. Please. That's why we got this station for you. For the politics, but also the sports. And there's going to be high school sports, of course. Friday night football kicking off all across the network later this evening. We got Pizza Box Mike here in Madison. And Diamond Crudy, the fall love Hometown Tour 2023 hitting the road next week. And our friend up in our other friend, the guy I called, said, yeah, schedule's open. Come see me next week, boys.
All right. Well, we're working on it.
We're putting all the dates together. Next Friday, though, that's a definite. Going up to see Jeannie in Chippewa Falls, the Tap 93.5 land. Going up there because it's Oktoberfest. There's a party going on. Man.
Oktoberfest in September. I love it.
And then we've also, no for sure, we'll be in Richland Center doing a Packer watch party the night the Packers play the Lions, Tom. That's September 28th. That's a Thursday night. We'll be in Richland Center, Wisconsin. I believe the bowling alley, the venue, politics, then Packers. And then the 29th, it'll be straight partying, man. We'll be at Oktoberfest in La Crosse like the old days, my friend. And we'll take you with. We're going to take you, the audience, with. We're going to party with you all across this great state. And you're going to be gone a couple days, but I got some plans for that week as well. 844-967-2789. That's the grievance hotline for Fridays. Here's one I got, Dom. Washington Post. The reporting, and they have released a report out of Georgia. There was the prior grand jury, right? The investigatory grand jury. And we come to find out today, they recommended a hell of a lot more charges than were actually leveled by Fonnie Willis. And one of the ones they thought should have been charged was sitting U.S. Senator Lindsey Graham. Now, that's not the prosecutor, folks. That's what the grand jury thought. And he gave testimony before that grand jury, not pled the fifth. He went and gave testimony, and they said, that guy looks like a criminal. A little bit of the headline, a little bit of the reporting at the Washington Post, and then a little sound from the senator from South Carolina. Georgia's special grand jury recommended charging Lindsey Graham in Trump chase case. They didn't have to chase Trump. How fast can a golf cart go? An Atlanta area special grand jury that spent months investigating alleged 2020 election interference in Georgia by Donald Trump and his allies agreed the former president should be indicted in the case and also recommended charging one of Trump's closest associates, Lindsey Graham, Republican from South Carolina, I do declare, and 37 other people, a far larger group than a prosecutor ultimately charged. And the recommendations, again, a 26-page final report presented in January to Fulton County District Attorney Fonnie Willis and made public by a judge today. The report by the special grand jury, which was an investigative body and did not have the power to issue criminal indictments, largely echoed Willis's theory of the case, recommending charges for Trump and numerous others alleging a sweeping criminal conspiracy to subvert Joe Biden's legitimate election win in Georgia. And a judge published the report at the request of the special grand jury. The jurors wanted it on the record, Dom, which cited a Georgia law that allows its recommendations to be made public. The document offered some rare insight into parts of an investigation typically marked by secrecy, not just on those who were indicted, but on those who weren't. But the report, which is not legally binding, does not include the evidence or reasoning behind the jury's thinking, though testimony transcripts and evidence are likely to emerge as part of criminal proceedings against those who were ultimately charged in the case. Well, we got some sound of our boy Lindsey Graham, or your pal than mine, Dom. Wasn't he Trump's pal? And then remember when Trump, like, doxed him, released his cell phone number? Remember when he got out the golf club and he was, like, taking swings at his own cell phone, had to destroy his cell phone because Trump publicly ridiculed the man. And now he has become the greatest Trump sycophant, a lapdog for the dude. Here's the sound of the senator, the esteemed senator from South Carolina, Lindsey Graham. I don't have the list, so let's start from the top.
All right, I got it.
So at the end of the day, nothing happened. What I did was consistent with my job as being United States Senator, chairman of the Judiciary Committee, but it was just not me.
It was just Dom, here's a little bit more of who it also included. The special grand jury's recommendation went beyond the charges Willis and her team ultimately pursued in the case, suggesting 20 other people. And here are a few of the names you may know. Lindsey Graham, Trump campaign attorney. She used to work at Foley and Lautner, right, Dom? Cleta Mitchell.
Cleta Mitchell, yes.
You know, the college kids that can just roll out of bed and vote. That's bad.
Yeah, it's too easy for those kids. What are we doing?
Trump advisor Boris Epstein, former Trump national security advisor Michael Flynn. He'd be a three-time loser by now, right, Dom? Pro-Trump attorney Lynn Wood and former senators. Look at this. Former senators David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler, both Republicans from Georgia. They were senators at the time of the phone call. The special election didn't happen until a couple days later. They were the sitting senators at that time. So you've got three Republican senators named in this investigatory report from the grand jury in Georgia. One still sitting. We got more sound from him. Let's play more Lindsey Graham for our fair audience. Whatever comes second.
So we're opening up Pandora's box here. Fulton County is one of the most liberal jurisdictions in the country.
So what?
I fear this will spread.
Don't do your crime in there. Don't do your criming in a liberal county if you're worried about getting criminally charged in a supposed liberal district like Atlanta.
Graham, continuing. Getting off the rails. Cut three, please.
Three United States senators. We're opening up Pandora's box. I think the system in this country is getting off the rails. And we have to be careful not to use the legal system as a political tool.
Against me, is what he's really saying. Please don't charge me.
Wow. Senator Graham, cut four, please.
Me, Senator Perdue and Loeffler, I talked to them. They were concerned about it. So,
yeah, you know, I mean, everyone's concerned. Everybody's concerned. Oh, but he's still standing with Trump, cut five.
One thing I want people to know, I am standing with President Trump. I am proudly supporting him.
Of course he is.
And he claims, and this is, I think, you know, we can argue this fact, that he never asked to set aside ballots. Cut six.
I ask him questions about the mail-in voting process. I never ask him to set aside ballots or anything else.
From the reporting of the Washington Post, Graham's calls to Raffensperger came weeks before Trump's infamous January 2021 phone call, in which the then president pressed Raffensperger to find enough votes to overturn the defeat in the state. You know, Biden won by fewer than 12,000 votes. Raffensperger later told the Washington Post he felt pressured by other Republicans, including Lindsey Graham, who he said echoed Trump's claims about voting irregularities in the state. He claimed that Graham, on one call, appeared to be asking him to find a way to set aside legally cast ballots. Again, Lindsey Graham ain't from Georgia. This is not part of his legislative responsibilities as a U.S. senator.
Judiciary committee. I mean, anything judicial, it's all very judicial, and I'm on the committee, so, you know, it's me. And he may make a distinction between what? My understanding, the envelopes of those ballots and the ballots themselves. It makes no sense, Crudy. And he will not be deterred in support Senator Graham. Senator Graham and other two senators as well listed in this report, not charged. Wonder why that is.
Come back with us. More Devil's Advocates. Your grievances could be next. 844-96-PARTY.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Here's your updated forecast. Mainly clear tonight with lows around 50. Southeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Tomorrow, slight chance for isolated rain showers. Daytime highs approaching 76. Mainly cloudy skies. Tomorrow night, scattered thunderstorms likely. Lows around 54. Upper 60s, Sunday and Monday, with scattered showers both days. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 74.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. Beginning at 6, Up North News. Then at 8, Stu Daniels. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Political talk. The devil's advocates.
You need to let it go. You need to let it go. Need to let it go.
And we're back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Happy Friday, airing the grievances, 844-967-2789.
Dominic, I don't know if we'd call this breaking news, but a preemptive strike by an assembly Republican, Wisconsin Rep. Scott Johnson. I will vote no on any attempted impeachment of Justice Janet Protasiewicz. Now, in his statement, which I just read, he states, and he represents the 33rd Assembly District. I believe that's Jefferson County. I was one of 1,839,656 voters who cast a ballot in the Supreme Court race. The end result was Janet Protasiewicz winning the race. The people spoke. I did not vote for candidate Protasiewicz. I certainly do not agree with Justice Protasiewicz, especially when it comes to her openness on election maps in our state. Elections have consequences. I will be honest in saying that I would encourage the justice to recuse herself from the case. And he underlines this part. However, I will not, all caps, vote in favor of impeachment. The people of Wisconsin have historically shown that they do not support uprooting a duly elected official on the sheer basis of political disagreement. Our court has shifted in a new direction, which is the consequence of an election. Wow, one reasonable Republican has said he will vote no. Commendable, Scott Johnson. See where you stand on other issues, but today, commendable, sir.
With an asterisk, he'll still want her recusal, but he won't force it. But so what's your judgment based on what she said? She said they were rigged, and what Gableman's Kelly said they're not rigged. But only the thing that she said that's terrible. If the Republican were elected,
come on, man, let's stop
be saying anything about. Come on, I'm just telling you, man.
Let's give the guy a little bit of credit.
Come on, he's still asking for her recusal.
He's asking about? So what? I have the opinion that so and so should do such and such, but that opinion's worth about as much as zero. So his opinion on the matter does not matter. His vote, his choice to courageously say, you know what, elections have consequences. You don't hear many Republicans saying that anymore unless they think they won. When they lost, they don't say it. This guy said it. He doesn't have to agree with Protasiewicz's position, but he's not being a jacknut and saying he's going to vote for her impeachment. He's going to leave that to Robin Voss and about, 50 members of the caucus. Let's get to the phones. Few grievances from the people. 844-967-2789. Our pal Joe from Madison. Welcome, Joe. What do you got for us?
Hey, Joe.
I just wanted to respond, and I suppose I shouldn't, but I am going to because I think it's important, to our dear friend CJ, who said that Trump was impeached over a phone call. Let us stop for a moment.
Perfect phone call.
That would really be, a perfect phone call. I mean, he may not be I don't know whether he's smart or stupid, but CJ, you sound stupid when you say that thing. You can look up what he was impeached for. It was obstruction of Congress and abuse of power. He gave a phone call to Zelensky in which he tried to shake him down to investigate Hunter Biden in return for military aid, which had been promised by Congress, but which a week before Trump had asked his chief of staff to suspend the $400 million in military aid to Ukraine. So here's this guy, Zelensky, who, his country has just been invaded. He's just been elected president and invaded by Russia. For God's sakes, he's on the edge. And to shake somebody down like this, it's a mafia. It's a mafia move. It's absolutely a mafia.
And Joe, what was the ask? You'll recall the ask was, we want you to investigate Joe Biden and Burisma. But let's understand that is a complex issue, and that didn't garner any Republican support. Of course, Trump's actions in the January 6th did garner some Republican support. There were some that voted to convict, which is kind of a big deal. But ultimately, the really big deal, Joe, we get to see it in trial. Trump, the defendant, we're going to see it on Technicolor and 4K TV, and we'll play it for you on the Devil's Advocates, and we'll play it for you on the Civic Media.
Great.
You know what That'll I mean? He's not going to be able to escape the truth because the trial will be the truth. We'll see him in the trial.
Exactly. And I look forward to it. One of the advantages of your station is the truth comes through. And the truth is, it wasn't a phone call. It was what was said in that phone call. In the same way that a mafia hitman can call to say, I'm going to do the number. I'll shoot your wife. That is not just a phone call. That is evidence within a phone call.
I need you to find me 11,780 votes. One more than I need.
Exactly.
Just a phone call.
Exactly.
Just a
phone call. Yeah.
Joe, appreciate you listening. We're going to sneak a few more grievances in before our fine guest, Mike Clemens, sports director. Give you a little Packer preview coming up shortly. Tom from Grafton, you're next, though. What do you got for us, Tom?
Hello, Tom.
Well, hi, guys. Hi. To listen to the Packers, that'd be on the AM 1400 out of Racine, Kenosha, then? Is that
Yes,
is that
sir. Right? Gets all the way up to Mequon last time I was driving up there.
Okay. Along with that station, I'd called in earlier. I was wondering if that announcer from down there, from the other station, if he's going to be moving over, Lou Regani
is in conversations with the program director. Her name's Catherine Lake. We got a new programming team here at Civic Media, and I made the introductions, and I'm in Lou's corner, and there's going to be some role for Lou. But what that's going to look like, Tom, I mean, it's been a lot of no to Lou. Like, can I start this week? No, because we're not quite ready for you, Lou. So when we're ready, Tom, when we're ready, I swear there'll be some Lou Regani love on the Racine Kenosha airwaves on WRJN. In the meantime, you're going to have to suffer through with high school sports on Friday, Badger sports tomorrow night, and of course the Packers Sunday afternoon, my friend.
Okay.
Sports, then Lou Regani. Lose later. Lose like dessert. We got more sports coming right now. Sports director of the Civic Media Network. We found him, WRJN, and of course, through coverage at Lambeau Field, he is Mike Clemens. He will join us next. Give us a little Packer preview. They play the Bears this week. Bears still suck.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. The United Auto Workers Union and big U.S. automakers have less than a week to avoid a strike. The current contract ends September 14th. ABC's Jay O'Brien has more on the potential impact.
According to a Michigan economic consulting firm that measures the cost of labor disputes, a 10-day strike could cost the broader U.S. economy more than $5 billion, on top of billions of losses for the automakers. The potential walkout, the latest in a summer of strikes, from union actors and writers in Hollywood to a tense but avoided UPS labor dispute.
The grand jury report in the Georgia racketeering case released today shows the jury recommended the DA charge more people than the current 19 defendants charged. The list included Senator Lindsey Graham. The maker of the abortion drug is asking the Supreme Court to reverse an appellate ruling that would limit mail-order access in the U.S. Danko Labs argues federal judges should not second-guess the FDA's approval of a drug or how it's dispensed. This is ABC News.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Vice President Kamala Harris plans to make a stop in Wisconsin as part of a month-long college tour across the country. The vice president is set to make a stop at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, among about a dozen other schools across the country, to discuss issues that disproportionately affect young people like reproductive health, gun safety, and climate action. The details of when Vice President Harris will be making the stop in Wisconsin have not yet been released. According to a WPR report, the chief clerk for the Wisconsin State Senate is currently on administrative leave pending the outcome of an investigation. Michael Queensland had his badge access to state buildings, including the state capitol, removed last month, and a spokesman for Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu said he could not discuss the status of the administrative leave and investigation. Queensland was elected to the post by the state Senate in January 2021. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Experience Nightlight, September 8th and 9th from 5 until 10:30 p.m. Presented by Joy Engine. The dazzling spectacle is an immersive 4D light festival taking place in Milwaukee's historic Mitchell Street neighborhood. Digital animations, dance, music, art, and fashion combine to create a visual, family-friendly sensory experience outside of 710 West Historic Mitchell Street, home of Mitchell Street Arts. The event is family-friendly and free to the public. Don't miss this iconic event. Nightlight, where art comes to life. Information at joyengine.org. The Todd Alba Show.
I see the silhouette of Todd Alba, who still hasn't figured out that maybe a TV person could help, you know, set this whole thing up.
For whatever reason, yeah. StreamYard's video is just deciding that the room is too bright.
When has Todd Alba been accused of being too bright? I mean, really there? I'm like, where's Aaron with the rim shot?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Snaps it quick. Pressure coming. Scrambles to his right. Pumps and runs. Aaron Rodgers is inside the pylon. Touchdown, Packers. It's Rodgers running for the score.
Right on cue, Joe. He had some choice words there for the crowd.
I looked up in the stands, and in the front row, all I saw was a woman giving me a double bird.
Talker, honestly, I mean, he just, like you said, last time he came here, you're saying he owned us and talking to the fans a certain way. So, I mean, we got to find a way to get that taste out of our mouth.
Welcome back to the Devils Advocates Radio Show, rolling through the Friday happy hour. Looking forward to a big kickoff. Packers 325 on Sunday, and we welcome back our sports director from Civic Media. He's Mike Clemens. Mike, are you in Chicago yet, man? Are you anticipating a big game this Sunday?
Rolling down tomorrow afternoon, spending the night in Chicago. But now, how you doing, Crudy, Dom?
Hey, Mike.
I'm still at Lambeau Field right now, and we just got done with the locker room about an hour or so ago, talking to the players, and they posted out the final injury report for the game going this weekend.
Well, before we talk about possible injuries, let me ask you, is the deed transferable? Aaron Rodgers has owned these Bears for a long time. Is that transferable to Jordan Love?
You inherit that?
Listen, you know, you're supposed to be objective when you're covering this, but one of the longtime beat reporters said when we were leaving practice the other day, he said, you know, wouldn't it be great? We'll cover this game. It's going to be a good game, and you know, kind of prime time at 3:25, nationally broadcast. He says, wouldn't it be great to cover this game? And Jordan Love gets the win, and then we get to listen to sports talk radio in Chicago and all those Bear fans whining and crying all the way home to Wisconsin. I'm thinking, that would be brilliant. That would be an awesome way to finish out the weekend.
Well, Mike Clemens, it's not like – and Justin Fields is obviously a talented quarterback, the quarterback of the Bears, but not when it comes to winning football games, not on the professional level, did just fine in college. But my understanding is he's 6-21 as a starter, and his lifetime quarterback rating in the NFL is under 80, Mike. So he's got a hell of a set of legs. Never skip leg day. But can the guy be a pocket passer? Can he move the team down the field? And, you know, can he be a winner on the NFL level, Mike? So far, he has not been.
He's got to be a pocket passer. He's not going to live very much longer in the NFL. Just ask Andrew Luck. No, that offensive line last year was poor. I don't know how much more. I think Ryan Poles has got to be better than Ryan Pace, the previous GM who did the Trubisky trade and all that money that they gave to Khalil Mack because they were on their way to the Super Bowl, if you remember. But like you know, their center is Lucas Patrick, the former Packer. Cody Whitehair, Braxton Jones, Nate Davis missed practice today. He's the right guard. So although they've improved some of the perimeter players, I don't know how much better that offensive line is. But his offensive coordinator is Luke Getsy, longtime assistant coach here in Green Bay, now offensive coordinator of the Bears. And he has got to come up with a better plan for pass protection for Justin Fields because I think there's a lot of Bear fans that are frustrated with that record that you just mentioned. But, I mean, if they can get him to settle down, stay in the pocket, and work with some of these weapons that they've gotten, them short percentage passes, then I think he still could be a good quarterback because I saw that kid play with so much heart last year. I mean, his ribs must have been killing him. You'd see him get hit 7 and 8 times, and he would get back up off the turf and still, you know, finish the game. So I think Justin Fields could still be a competitor in this league.
Mike Clemens, Civic Media's sports director and our, most importantly, Packer beat reporter. Mike, let's talk about the injury report. Bakhtiari, I heard he has not been participating in practice. Do they anticipate, is he on the list? Is he questionable? Is he out? Are we going to have our full complement of linemen for this first game?
Yeah. Bakhtiari hasn't practiced since August 30th, Mike. August 30th.
Wow.
And we had a long 20-minute conversation with him yesterday, and he came right out and said, look, I mean, he's 31. He's made a lot of money. This is his last year in Green Bay, and maybe if he gets another job, he'll get a big, you know, 2 or 3 year contract with the Chargers, like Corey Linsley did, like Brian Bulaga did, something like that. So he is committed to playing this season alongside Elgton Jenkins and trying to be the best left side offensive line that can. But, you know, he keeps pointing to the knee. It's like the knee decides when I play or when I practice. And he said, really, I don't need to practice anymore. I don't. I know what I'm doing. I just need to sort of warm up. I need to kind of work on my angles, as he calls it, you know, to get prepared for wherever rushers are coming from. But other than that, I can still do it. And I think this team, I think Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur are like, all right, first of all, we're paying the guy a lot, so we might as well get our money's worth. But, B, when you put him in the games, he's still one of the best of the business. Mike, do you remember Chad Clifton?
I do, of course.
Yeah, so long-time left tackle between Favre and then the first couple of years of Rodgers. So Bakhtiari told us that in the training room now, they're starting to call him Cliffy. Because if you remember, I forgot Chad Clifton. He used to do that Mercedes Lewis thing, like, you know, no practice, no practice, no practice, and then play 75 snaps and just, you know, you couldn't get past them. So Bakhtiari is like the new Chad Clifton. And, you know, Mark Tauscher used to joke around. He said, Cliffy, we call him the big Lamborghini because they only roll him out of the garage on Sundays.
Well, we barely let Dom out then. Mike Clemens, our Packer beat reporter here at Civic Media, Hey, man, what about the receiving core? Jordan Love, this is, what, his second NFL start. And he better have some receivers to throw to. And my understanding is, what, Watson's been hurt? Who else is hurt? And are they playing? What's the report tell us about the receivers?
Yeah, so you know that Romeo Doubs has been out the last couple of weeks. They don't issue an injury report during camp. Eventually, we found out he was dealing with a hamstring, which is why Romeo Doubs, the number one, the guy with the most chemistry with Jordan Love right now, they sat him, they rested him during the Seattle game, and he wasn't out there in the practice field. So we get in here on Wednesday wondering if Doubs is back, and all of a sudden, Christian Watson not practicing. And the injury report comes out, and it's a hamstring. Apparently it happened about a week ago, and he's out. And, you know, you were so anxious to see this plan of Watson, Doubs, and then Jaden Reed, number 11, the kid that they're going to put in the slot, those guys together with Luke Musgrave, to see how that works. But Watson has got a hamstring that, who knows, it could be a couple of weeks. So Doubs is limited in practice, but he's going to kind of hobble out there. I said, so who else you got at your wide receiver? He said Malik Heath is doing a tremendous job of preparation. And then he also talked about I thought this was pretty funny. Well, he talked about J. Reed, as they call him. And he said, and then, Tay, 13. Yeah, he's done a nice job this week, too. Dontavian Wicks, another one of these rookie seventh-round picks at wide receiver. And I was like, do you realize he doesn't know the guy's name yet? He's pointing. He had to say, at 13, Tay.
Yeah, that guy over there. He did
a pretty good job, too. Yeah. So I hope they introduce themselves in the huddle. So, but here's the thing. I went to Jordan Love because as soon as I heard that report from Wednesday, for some reason I had a flashback to a game when LaFleur had taken over as coach, and Rodgers was short at wide receiver like that. And if you remember, we're down there at Arrowhead. I think it was the week after Patrick Mahomes had that dislocated knee. So they had a backup quarterback. But they ended up using Aaron Jones. Remember he went wide left and had caught one like 55 yards down the field? That kind of was a turning point of the game. He also hit his other running back at the time, Jamal Williams, for a sweet touchdown pass when they were down in the red zone. Caught that. And so I thought, they'll line up Aaron Jones as a receiver, right? So I asked Jordan Love, I said, how's that chemistry between you and Aaron Jones as a targeted receiver?
We have some sound from that.
Yeah, no, me and Justin, we got the same agent, so we do a good amount of things just with our agent and with our agency getting together. But, no, I haven't talked to him at all this week. Probably talk to him, after the game or maybe before. I'm excited for it. It's always exciting to, open the season, get the first game on rolling. But for an NFC opponent, rivalry game, it'll be very exciting playing there in their stadium. So I'm sure it'll be a packed house. Everybody will be excited for week one and ready to put on a show.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Mike Clemens, Civic Media's sports director, joining us, a little Packer pregame. Mike, you talk about Justin Fields, obviously great athlete, hard to maybe criticize if you have an offensive line that's got some holes in it. How do you think the Packers' D is going to match up this weekend?
Well, the guy they're going to be keying on is DJ Moore, a wide receiver that had a great run with the Carolina Panthers that they traded for him in March. And he's got the speed. Last year, Justin Fields is playing the Packers at Soldier Field in December, and he's thrown to Equanimeous St. Brown, a guy who didn't work out in Green Bay. So, now he goes back to the back of the line. And they got DJ Moore, Chase Claypool, and Cole Kmet. They got Robert Tonyan. Bobby Tonyan is there now, the former Packers tight end. And so is Mercedes Lewis. So they're getting him more weapons on the perimeter. And then Khalil Herbert is a running back that will get them some yards as well. So the thing is, they're going to have to keep an eye though on DJ Moore, because once he catches it, man, he can take off great yards after the catch. And if I'm Luke Getsy, I'm thinking about putting DJ Moore somewhere over the middle, maybe out in the flats, higher percentage accuracy, passes. Take it easier on that rather than shooting for the deep ball all the time. And that could work. Now, a guy that's going to have to keep his eye on him is Darnell Savage Jr.
Adrian Amos has not moved on. He's with the Jets, and so he'll be the lead guy at safety back there. And Rudy Ford, I think they're kind of weak at safety on the Packers defense.
I think they kind of are. It's a rotating safeties, isn't it? It's like three or maybe four starters back there, which mean we don't have two strong starters?
Exactly. You know, it's Rudy Ford, who really should be like a special teams guy and a backup safety. I'm surprised they didn't pick one up, you know, after the cutdowns. Jonathan Owens, I think they feel okay about him, and at least as a special teams player. So I talked to Savage, who's kind of stepped up a little bit as a leader, about the rivalry. And I said, you know, if you're this whole team is 22-year-olds, 23-year-olds, they don't really understand the rivalry. I said, so when you walk in these stadiums, that's when it must kick in, right? And here's how that went.
On game day, when you walk into that stadium, aren't there signs?
Then
it kicks in and you say, oh.
Yeah, you feel it. I mean, and it's not even necessarily when you walk into the stadium. It's driving to the stadium. You know, it's in the bus, so you see all the people tailgating, that kind of thing. It's a good feeling, though, honestly. It's kind of like a us against the world kind of feeling, you know. And it feels good because it kind of brings us closer together because we know we all we got. You know, we in this big stadium by ourselves, essentially. Obviously, Packer fans travel very well. We hope to hear some Go Pack Go chants on Sunday. So, but yeah, it's just one of those things, man. It's a special, special, special thing. This Bears Packers kind of thing. So,
when you're down in the field and you get women in the stands flipping off Aaron Rodgers, that's an indication.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. They like I said, though, that's the thing about just these two organizations, you know, just the fan base behind them. It's so deep and so rooted and so strong, you know. It just goes back to time and time again, you know. So it just makes it all the more better.
Mike Clemens, our Packer beat reporter, Civic Media's sports director. Mike, are you giving us a prediction for this Sunday's big game, Bears Packers? My prediction, pain.
Yeah, I don't really do the predictions, but I will for this one because, there's nothing like to see. The best story is for Jordan Love to continue this 30 years of misery for those season ticket holders at Soldier Field between Favre and Love. So I'm gonna go 24-19. Green Bay continues the misery at Soldier Field.
I'm sorry, what was the score?
24-19.
Dom, your thoughts?
19. Real quick, Mike, before we let you go, my Lions leading the NFC North. What do you think? Did you see the game in 30 seconds? NFC champs or Super Bowl champs, Mike?
How about that fake punt with the punter back with his back to the goal line, 91-yard drive and 14 plays? Dan Campbell is dangerous. He might be the next Ditka.
Mike Clemens. You could be the next Mike Clemens. Thank you for joining us today. Enjoy the game. Mike. Rest you. Come
Thank
back.
You, boys.
More Devils Advocates on the other side.
Experience Nightlight, September 8th and 9th from 5 until 10:30 p.m. Presented by Joy Engine. The dazzling spectacle is an immersive 4D light festival taking place in Milwaukee's historic Mitchell Street neighborhood. Digital animations, dance, music, art, and fashion combine to create a visual, family-friendly sensory experience outside of 710 West Historic Mitchell Street, home of Mitchell Street Arts. The event is family-friendly and free to the public. Don't miss this iconic event. Nightlight, where art comes to life. Information at joyengine.org.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Here's your updated forecast. Mainly clear skies tonight with lows around 50. Southeasterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. A mix of clouds and sun tomorrow. Slight chance for isolated rain showers. High temperatures reach up to 76. Lows dip down to about 54. Tomorrow night, scattered thunderstorms likely. Upper 60s, Sunday and Monday, with showers possible both days. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 75.
This summer, Lake Air, 1260 AM, WLAK, has a new starting lineup. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Tom and Crude. Then at 6, The Maggie Dawn Show, WLAK.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
And we're back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, our last segment of the day, of the week. If you got something to say, air your grievances now. 844-967-2789.
Line them up, because otherwise I'm promoting more sports up around here, man. Can't wait for the big football weekend, dude. I live for this stuff. You know I do. You know I do. That and Hawaiian shirts. I live for this stuff. Yeah. I got my Badger hat on. I got the
Megan PI over here, man.
Buddy, I got the Jordan Love boat strapped up at home. Can't wait to hop in the truck and take her up and throw her on the lake. And of course, listen to my beloved Badgers. I would recommend the flagship stream, WRJN. They're kicking off 6:30 on Saturday night. Little night affair. We got Badger stations all around the state, though. Minneapolis Outmarket, WLAK 1260 AM. Up in central northern Wisconsin, we've got WFHR, locally grown radio, and Badgers. That's 1320 AM, 97.5 FM. And of course, our Badger flagship in southwestern Wisconsin, WRCE. They got our Badgers over there. That's 1450 AM, 107.7 FM. Really, I'm just testing myself, see if I still know what stations we have. And our flagship, 1400 WRJN. Listen, Racine, Kenosha, and most importantly, all across Milwaukee, not only will we have the Badgers, we're also going to have the Packers. 325 kickoff, pregame like 2 hours earlier. Dom, I am so pumped about the kickoff of the NFL season. Man, I never thought we'd have the Packers.
And we have the Packers.
And we do. Across the
That's
network.
Fantastic.
The Big Q up north, too. 98.3 FM in Park Falls and Minocqua. Anywhere there's a cabin in northern Wisconsin, put on 98.3. You'll probably hear our Packer coverage. And WRCO, we're going to party with the Packer fans on September 28th in Richland Center. If you didn't hear, Dom and Crute going on the road for a Fall Love Hometown Tour 2023, something like that. And we will be in Richland Center September 28th for a little politics then Packers, a little watch party courtesy of WRCO. They're our Packers affiliate, and WRCE, where they play out the greatest radio show ever. That's us, Dom.
That's us.
Pack GM, football, door to door. But what about that Lindsey Graham and the other named but not indicted people in the state of Georgia, man? Guilty, guilty, guilty. Line up the indictments.
I mean, listen, I rely on DA Willis to make the best decision to get the convictions based on the evidence that she has.
Did she feel like more than 19 concurrent defendants at trial would be cumbersome?
I don't know that the number was the case. Presumably it's about the evidence. So we'll have to wait and see, but I want to throw this one out there again. 844-967-2789. Washington Post reporting: judge denies Mark Meadows' effort to move Georgia case to the federal court.
That's a big deal for Mark Meadows. That means he's effectively Scroogied, right, Dom? Cause he was claiming all of these things were efforts as the chief of staff to the former president.
Right.
You know,
the judge found the actions at the heart of the state's charges against Meadows were taken on behalf of the Trump campaign with the ultimate goal of affecting state election activities and procedures. He added, Meadows himself testified that working for the Trump campaign would be outside the scope of a White House chief of staff. I mean, he said that himself. Let's go a little bit further down here. The ruling will proceed. Meadows case will proceed in Fulton County Superior Court with no opportunity to make the argument. Damn it. Let me scroll back here. Just a moment. Bear with me. Jones, the judge's decision is also not good news for four other co-defendants who have sought to move their cases to federal court. Jones said during Meadows' August 28 hearing that he expected his ruling to serve as precedent for other cases. While Trump has not sought removal, his lawyers indicated in a Superior Court filing on Thursday he may do so. The decision would appear to bode poorly for him, too, if he chooses to seek removal. And if anybody had a case for removal to the federal court, presumably it was Meadows. The other folks, if Meadows didn't get it, nobody's getting it.
844-967-2789. It's stacking up against the Trump loyalist. They're going to start jumping off the ship like rats, right, Dom?
You would think so.
Mark Meadows was already being accused of being the rat. Catherine from Madison, welcome to the show. You got a grievance?
Hey, Catherine.
Yeah. Hi. Thanks for the show today. It was really good. I'm calling in because we're often saying that elections have consequences, but laws and rules have consequences too.
Yes.
And I'm still irritated that Josh Call is not bringing a case against the fake electors. It's like almost 3 years now. And I honestly think that that might be the fact that here in Wisconsin, those electors are going essentially scot-free right now for an obvious, simple case.
A civil trial that is scheduled for next year, Catherine. And I'm not saying that's the same as a criminal trial, but understand, Catherine, let's assume they're guilty of the underlying conspiracy. These false electors mm-hmm. that were at the direction of Rudy Giuliani or Troopas or Cheesebro or Eastman, whoever gave them the advice, they took it and showed themselves to be gullible, perhaps criminally complicit, in our opinion. But the attorney general hasn't charged that. So if there's going to be any justice, probably for Wisconsinites, and I feel like these people wronged us, right? But the only justice will come through the civil trials. That will be the exposure, and that will be financial exposure. They're being sued for hundreds of thousands of dollars each, Catherine. And that's not quite the same as a jail cell, but it's going to sting.
Yeah.
It's going to sting.
I know, but I still think it's not enough. I think that they're getting away with this and not even getting charged just makes them feel like they can, you know, try to kick Protasiewicz out, essentially kick her out by making sure she doesn't have any, you know, she can't go forward with being the justice.
Who am I kidding, Catherine? I agreed with you the whole time. I was just looking for a silver lining on a Friday afternoon.
We'll take what we can get, Catherine. Well, I agree. I'm with you as well. I mean, if we think it is criminal, it's fraud. They knew what they were doing. Hell, the former chair of the Republican Party in the state of Wisconsin said this is a terrible idea. It's going to fail. And then he went on to sign for it, Catherine. So no, I'm not. I mean, I think the pressure should still be on Call. Why not? Why aren't you going down this road? Now, maybe he is, and he's not talking about, you know, open investigations, etc. But it seems to me that if you do not go after what is seemingly obvious fraud to me, that you do not discourage that behavior from happening again in the future. Thanks for the call, Catherine. Have a great weekend.
Thank you to our fine guests. They included Ben Wickler, chairman of the fine Democratic Party at great state of Wisconsin. Also, Mike Clemens, he is our Packer beat reporter, civic media sports director. Packers by 3 touchdowns. That's my prediction.
I'll take it.
No, don't forget, Maggie Dawn Show is next, and Pizza Box Mike, high school football across many of these stations. Keep it locked. Civic media. Let's go surfing now.
Hey, this is Joey Erickson at Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. At Civic Media, we love our local communities and want to share your stories. Submit your local event and we'll let our listeners know. Email me at joey.erickson@civicmedia.us.
Work, the kids' practices, household errands, seems like every hour's rush hour at our house. But no matter how busy things get, we still make balanced nutrition a priority with help from Country Hearth Natural Breads. Whole grains and other natural ingredients are carefully blended and baked into delicious, nutritious breads like Dakota Style 12 Grain, Multigrain, and 100% whole wheat. There's a Country Hearth favorite for everyone in the family. Country Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on
ABC
the Civic
News.
Media app.
I'm Chuck Sievertson.